Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, happy weekend, happy Culture Shock Sports Edition Friday, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True, and first of all, I thank you and I appreciate you for your support, and thank you for tuning in to this live broadcast, if not for the entire episode, for a few minutes. My apologies for not beginning at 5:30. And what happened, I thought it's supposed to have been scheduled at 5:30. My shows are scheduled a month in advance for their time slots. If at 5:30, that's the set time. Other than my special edition shows and my show for Saturday nights, I have to schedule myself. But I do have to fill in my topic discussions and info like that. So my show is already scheduled. And last night, I hope you all enjoyed the broadcast, even though they were a little I guess, places of quietness within the broadcast. But what happened was I filled in the description of the show, and I guess I mistakenly scheduled it for tomorrow morning. So I'm like, why is my show not scheduled? Duh. And so I had to go ahead and go and hurry up and schedule it for the next time slot, which is 6 o'clock instead of 5:30. But I just wanted to let you all know, I believe in, you know, sometimes if you can provide too much information, but you probably want to know, well, what's going on, what's happening. And, you know, we've been just having a blast. You know, I've been volunteering at the Republican Party booth at the Mississippi State Fair, which concludes on Sunday. And today is Friday, and, you know, when you arrive at the fair before 1, you can get in free and part free also. I'm not volunteering today at the booth, but I will be there bright and early tomorrow morning. So if you're at the fair, visiting the fair, be sure to come to Mississippi Trademark Building where the vendors are housed and where an awesome, awesome car exhibit is also presented, and you will just love it. You will love talking with the vendors, because even I haven't talked to all the vendors that I need to talk with, so I would definitely do that on Saturday when my shift ends. So I can't wait to hear the numbers of the attendance of the fair. I think last night, the group Unveiled performed, but of course, I arrived home right at 7, just in time to prepare to watch the vice presidential debate. And what did you all think about the debate? It was rather interesting. I liked the concept. The next debate would be another presidential debate. Last night, excuse me, the VP debate, that's the only debate we will see. But we have two more presidential debates, and Tuesday will be a presidential debate, town hall meeting style. And I, excuse my voice, and I like town hall meeting concepts. And so that should be pretty awesome, right? I think so too. But let's go ahead and talk sports. And also, I want to continue profiling the 32 NFL head coaches, because that's been a profile for pretty much the past few weeks, of profiling 32 head coaches, and also have profiled Roger Goodell a few weeks ago when I began profiling 32 head coaches, NFL head coaches, and interim coaches. And but I noticed that sometimes I run out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about the coaches at the head of the show. I believe Rich Ruffnet will be calling in before we end broadcast. Way before we end broadcast, so we'll be running out of time having fun with him. And right now I'm not looking at the chat room right now because I am checking out an article about Drew Brees. So while I was busy volunteering yesterday, I see, well, Drew Brees was making his rounds talking with the media, and he also was a guest on Mike and Mike yesterday morning, I see. So I'm checking out Sports Illustrated's website, and one of the headlines with the truth and rumors portion regarding the NFL states that truth and rumors, NFL, Brees blasts sham bounty case. And Scott Fajita, who used to practice here when the team practiced here between 06 and 08, Scott Fajita had, you all know, the guy's suspensions are still on. They reduced the suspensions, but the suspensions are still on for the guy, the four former players and current Saints who were penalized for allegedly being a part of the bounty program. And Scott Fajita is one of them. He's a former Saint. So Scott Fajita had his say on Wednesday. And now quarterback Drew Brees has weighed in on the NFL's bounty case. And Drew says this could go on for a while, because certainly our players are not satisfied with some of the things that Commissioner Goodell has claimed or said, Brees said. Brees has made the media rounds on yesterday, and he also said on ESPN's Mike and Mike in the morning that he's angry about the suspensions handed out to the Saints. head coach Sean Payton and assistant Joe Vitt. This whole Bounty thing, for the most part, is just a big sham, Bree said. The fact that our coaches are suspended for part of the year or the entire year is pretty ridiculous. And really, Drew has been pretty vocal ever since this made news, ever since this came out at the end of football season. So, wow. You know, I want to congratulate Drew regarding making history this past Sunday. And that was awesome seeing General Manager Mickey Loomis and Coach Sean Payton at the game to witness him making history. And also, in itself, to see the Saints win their first NFL game of the season. That was amazing also to see. And also, this past week, I noticed what's been making the news is Terrell Owens' plea to the Jets regarding wanting to be a part of their franchise. And does Rex Ryan hear him? Has he responded to Terrell? I heard about that earlier this week. So that is another top story right now on Sports Illustrated's website. So let's see. Because I was just wondering, have he responded to Terrell or not? You know, I do my best to stay updated, but this is another story. So, happy birthday. If today is your birthday, we'll be talking about celeb birthdays and dating history in a bit. Had to take me a sip of water. Yes, you hear my voice. How you know how it comes and goes. So, obviously, we've been having a blast talking to visitors at the booth, people from all backgrounds. And I think someone here is Terrell. Terrell Owens makes Twitter plea to Jets. Rex Ryan considers former NFL star Terrell Owens is apparently looking for an entry point. And this is from earlier in the week. So we would know, I guess, if Rex Ryan has responded to him. But someone is listening, I believe. He's looking for an entry point back into the league and is now calling on the New York Jets to give him a chance. The former Pro Bowl wide receiver took to Twitter during the Jets' Monday night loss to the Houston Texans to make another plea, saying he is ready, willing, and able. When I have invited him on this show, and he should be a guest on the show, he'll be surprised who listens to the show and who he possibly would be, who he could possibly hear from by being a guest on, yes, this awesome internet show. When asked regards the Jets' interest in Owens, head coach Rex Ryan said Tuesday morning that he won't rule anything, but especially given the unknowns with injury that plagued the team this season, according to Mark Raimondi of the New York Post. You never say never to anything. We'll look at all options like we always do, Ryan said. You're going to look at everything. We don't know the severity of injuries or anything else right now. I can say it's been a definitive no for T.O. and anybody else that's not on our team. The Jets lost San Antonio Holmes for the season after a week 4 foot injury during a game against the San Francisco 49ers. The team is also without cornerback Darrell Revis, who's out for the season after suffering a torn ligament in a week 3 game against the Miami Dolphins. Ryan said that in the wake of the injury, the team would look to build up its own younger, faster receivers. Now, Terrell might not be younger, but he is definitely fast. I know they said faster, but he's very fast. So, you know, Owens signed a $925,000 deal with the Seattle Seahawks in August. 3 weeks later, the team released him. He last played in an NFL game in 2010 as a member of the Cincinnati Bengals before suffering a torn ACL. He last played organized football in early 2012 as a member of the Allen Wranglers of the Indoor Football League. You all can tweet him at Tara Owens. Yeah, just basically Tara Owens, his name. No underscore, no anything. He's also on Facebook. So I'm posting this right now. Well, I've already posted on my Facebook page. But I'm, like, doing a double post. And I tweeted out also. But many of you might have read that or might not have known if Rex Ryan had responded, and he has responded. But Terrell might not be younger, but he is fast. So, you know, maybe another team could use maybe an older and a fast athlete like Terrell. I definitely believe he would be an asset to a team that really need his need him. I do definitely believe that, don't you? No. Okay, and then there's another story where the ex-Bengals cheerleader reaches a deal in that sex case. And that's been a story that a lot of people have been keeping up with. Oh, wow. And I'm checking out SI.com. Sometimes I, you know, yeah, I've been getting a lot of sports emails, and I see the MLB is doing pretty good during this playoff season. And we're entering the sixth week of the NFL season, and we're in the midst of preseason with the NBA. So we sports lovers and those that work in sports media and sports period, we are, like, super excited, are we not? But then the NHL is still in the lockout. And on SI.com's website, they have, like, an NHL lockout survivor guide. But Covington, Kentucky, a former cheerleader for the Cincinnati Bengals, apparently has reached a plea deal in the sex abuse case against her. Multiple media outlets in the Cincinnati area report that the former cheerleader is charged with having sex with a 17-year-old when she was a teacher in Northern Kentucky. She would be in court Monday in Northern Kentucky. An attorney for Sarah Jones tells WCPO-TV that she will accept a plea deal, but her attorney isn't given details on the agreement. A trial in the case had been set to start Wednesday. Last week, the judge denied a request from Jones' attorney to throw out text messages in the case. Jones had taught at Dixie Heights High School in Kentucky before resigning last November. She was indicted in March. So that story is... That's something, that story right there. Wow. So I'm sharing different things on LinkedIn and Twitter and on Facebook. So, yeah, my voice is shot. So hopefully I have it back so I can continue having fun listening to those of you that drop by. And also when I'm broadcasting, just living my life. Shot. Okay, now that's on LinkedIn, those of you. Shout out to all my on and offline friends. And I'm looking at the MLB playoffs, and I have received some awesome emails from different sources. But San Francisco, Cincinnati, 6-4 was the final. St. Louis, Washington, Washington 2, St. Louis 1, Baltimore 2, New York Yankees 1, final in the 13th. Detroit 0 and Oakland 0 was the final. The Orioles topped the Yankees in 13 and forced 8-5. So, wow. And another top story at Sports Illustrated is Worst Blast Keeps National Season Alive. Last second, FG lifts Titans past the Steelers. Postage slams the Reds. Giants reach NLCS. Concussed Dale Jr. to miss two races. Federal wins will remain at number one for 300 weeks. Rose eliminates Tiger at the World Golf Final. Eagles quarterback Vic confirms he is a dog owner. I've seen that all over the media last evening. Ellen Nowitzki to consider knee surgery. And condolences to ESPN because ESPN commentator Beano Cook died at age 81. Michigan hoop star Young commits to Kentucky. And I'm going to quickly talk about Michael Vick and then move on because Rich Ruffner, my callers, and we'll also want to go ahead and talk about the coaches also. But quickly, to Michael Vick. Eagles, on last evening, Eagles Vick confirms he is again a dog owner. Michael Vick is a dog owner again. Vick served 18 months in federal prison on dog fighting charges, confirmed Thursday that his family has a dog. The Philadelphia Eagles four-time Pro Bowl quarterback refused to discuss the topic just a day earlier. I understand the strong emotions by some people about our family's decision to care for a pet. Vick said in a statement, as a father, it is important to make sure my children develop a healthy relationship with animals. I want to ensure that my children establish a loving bond and treat all God's creatures with kindness and respect. Our pet is well cared for and loved as a member of our family. Since his release from prison in 2009, Vick has worked with the Humane Society of the United States to speak out against animal cruelty. He's made appearances at schools and spoken to students about the dangers of being involved in dog fighting. Vick says that commitment will continue. This is an opportunity to break the cycle. Vick said that to the end, I will continue to honor my commitment to animal welfare and be an instrument of positive change. The Humane Society declined to comment. Vick was banned from owning a dog until completing his probation period. When he first stated his desire to own one, it touched off a firestorm. Some animal rights activists were outraged, along with fans who thought the star player should never be allowed to have a dog. I am not a psychopath. I am not crazy. I am a human being, Vick once told the Associated Press about wanting to own a dog. What happened in my past and what I did in the culture I grew up in doesn't shape and mold me as the person I am now. So this was published by Associated Press. And I don't see the reporter that wrote this, but he is definitely a dog owner. I know in 2010, my mother and I wanted to give him a puppy that she had named Red. And I even tweeted the commissioner and even told Mike and Mike about it. But I'm so glad that he and his family are taking care of a pet again. And he seems remorseful. And I've been an animal advocate, pet advocate also. You know, I understand what the other animal lovers and animal activists are talking about, but he is remorseful, and he is making a good point regarding wanting his kids to develop a loving relationship with a pet. I mean, really, why should his kids be penalized for something that he already served time for, and he's definitely been remorseful and been a major part in working closely with the Humane Society, you know. So it's very important for us, you know, to look at. So it's good he came out. He came out and talked about it and talking about it and confirming it. And that's pretty much what I have to say regarding it. And I want to talk about golf. I want to talk about the Rangers. But I need to go ahead and talk about the head coaches. So when and if Rich Ruffner calls in, we can have ample time to listen to his perspective regarding different topics also. And again, I would like to shout out the Mississippi Republican GOP and the GOP period, NoLabels.org, which I'm a member of. There's a big meeting coming up in January. NAF, National Association of Female Executives, and to those that inspire me and believe in me and those that support the broadcast, and you're just amazing, you rock. Thank you to the naysayers and the ones that believe in just being negative. I have no words. I mean, I have no words to say, but God bless. You also inspire me, too. And, like, I used to wonder what some celebrities would say, and to those of you that that don't support me, I thank you too, because you encourage me too. I understand what my celebrities meant when they make acceptance speeches sometimes. But here we go. Wow. There's a headline right now, speaking of head coaches, on Bleacher Report, where I have a profile. I need to resume writing at my profile at Bleacher Report. Um, I want to share this article, see what this what they're talking about right quick, since we're getting ready to talk about head coaches. Wow, today is one of my favorite local news journalists, last day today. And I've talked about him, bragged about him. Travelle Eaton is leaving 16 to relocate to Orlando Weshes TV, WESH. So congratulations to Travelle regarding his new job in Orlando and to everyone in Orlando and WESH TV. Channel NBC is NBC affiliate, and he's leaving ABC affiliate. And he's working for NBC affiliates before. He's an investigative reporter, and he's worked in Las Vegas covering O.J. Simpson, and also the sniper case when he worked in the Washington D.C. area. Also, so he is an awesome reporter. And I told him earlier this year, he had been on vacation a long time, and I thought maybe he had a new job because. You know, I knew this day would come, but it would have been good if we could have kept him. But, you know, can't help but be happy when people are advancing their careers, and he's so successful. And I know I've been a bigger, broader tourism city, you know, but we definitely will miss him. And this morning he was just talking about how we can all just keep in touch with him via, you know, Facebook and Twitter and other forms of networking. And I already told him we have to keep in touch, most definitely. You know, man, I have been talking about having been to Disney World in ages. So this is just something. But back to the so best wishes to E. Loving the new anchor that's part of the morning team now here. But Travelle, he does amazing work. And those of you that are in Orlando, just look out because he is awesome. It's Analyzing Trends of Failing NFL Head Coaches by Chris Trapazzo, a featured columnist at Bleacher Report. He writes, and I'm posting this on my Facebook page. He writes, I know, for some reason my article does not want to scroll down. That's why I like old-fashioned pen and paper. You can always, and from the top of your head, if it's something that you already have in the top of your head. Improvising. Oh, goodness. For some reason my article does not want to scroll. This goes hand in hand with talking about the head coaches. But there's an awesome article regarding analyzing trends of failing NFL head coaches. If I can refer to it, I will. But as of now, let's go ahead and continue talking about. We'll resume talking about the NFL head coaches like I've been doing for the past 3 to 4 weeks. Right before 6:30 now. There's an article about Pete Carroll. There's another article of this report called A Former Player's Perspective on the 10 Toughest Coaches in the NFL. There are some tough coaches in the NFL. I believe all of them are tough. For real. Oh, big shout-out to Callaway, my high school alma mater. They're the team of the week. Callaway will be playing Ridgeland tonight. That's a big, big game. And, wow, that's going to be a good game, too. Callaway versus Ridgeland. Okay, last week we talked about Gary Cuba. Did we talk about Gary? Whoa, wait a second. I don't think it's time to talk about Chuck. Coach of the Int, but maybe I should go ahead and talk about him since he's not feeling well. Oh. Wait a second. I think that, y'all, for some reason I'm being guided to talk about Chuck Pagano. Is that how you pronounce his last name? Because that, besides the New Orleans Saints, the Indianapolis Colts also have an interim head coach. And Charles D. Chuck Pagano, born October the 2nd, 1916. That's something I liked this past weekend, how the Indianapolis Colts interim coach delivered their football to the coach this past weekend. But he's currently the head coach for the Indianapolis Colts of the National Football League, NFL, a position he assumed in January 2012. Pagano has previously served as defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens in 2011. He is the brother of San Diego Chargers defensive coordinator John Pagano. His birthplace is in Boulder, Colorado. He attended college in Wyoming. His head coaching record is 2-2. And the teams as a player, he played as a strong safety for Wyoming from 80 to 84. And teams as a coach and administrator from 84 to 85, he was with Southern California as a graduate assistant. 86, Miami, Florida as a graduate assistant. 87 to 88, Boise State as a linebacker assistant. 89, East Carolina defensive back. UNLV, 1990 defensive backs. 91, UNLV defensive coordinator. East Carolina defensive backs, linebackers, Miami, Florida. And Miami, Florida, 95 to 2000, defensive backs, STU. 2001 to 2004, Cleveland Browns, and he was secondary coach. 2005-2006, Oakland Raiders defensive backs, North Carolina. Defensive coordinator of North Carolina in 07. 08 to 10, he was with the Baltimore Ravens as secondary. In 2011, Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator. And right now, 2012 present, this present time, current coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And he began his coaching career as a graduate assistant at Southern California from 1984 to 1985, before a parallel move to Miami, Florida in 86. He was outside linebackers coach of Boise State from 87 to 88. Then he coached defensive backs at East Carolina and UNLV in 89 and 90, respectively. By 1991, Pagano had been promoted to defensive coordinator for UNLV, but returned to East Carolina to coach defensive backs and outside linebackers a year later. Pagano linked with Butch Davis in 1995, returning to Miami to coach the secondary and coordinate special teams. In his 5 years there, he recruited and coached four first-round NFL draft picks. And during the 2000 season, his secondary was named the nation's best by Football News. His defensive backs did not allow a passing touchdown over the last 27 quarters of the 1999 season. Miami also blocked 39 kicks in 59 games, including a school record 12 blocks in 96. At the end of 2006 season, Pagano rejoined Davis following his appointment as head coach of North Carolina. In his first and only season, they finished with a record of 4-8, but were narrowly beaten by less than 7 points in six of those games. Regarding the NFL, in 2001, Pagano joined Davis in the NFL as a secondary coach for the Cleveland Browns. In 2003, he helped the Browns tie a franchise record for the fewest passing touchdowns, allowed with 13. In 2001, secondary accounted for 28 of the Browns' NFL high 33 interceptions. And in the same season, rookie cornerback Anthony Henry led the league with 10 interceptions. After leaving Cleveland in 2004, Pagano spent two seasons as defensive back coach of the Oakland Raiders. In 2006, the Raiders' pass defensive allowed just 151 yards per game and total defense just 285. This ranked them first and third in the league, respectively. Pagano was named to John Harbaugh's initial coaching staff with Baltimore Ravens on February 12, 2008. He served as defensive secondary coach for three seasons. He was promoted to defensive coordinator on January 18, 2011, succeeding Greg Matteson, who accepted
a similar position at the University of Michigan. Pagano's defense finished third in both points allowed and in yards allowed. They finished 13 in takeaways and second rush yards allowed, but Baltimore's defense has always been known for its ability to stop the run. Pagano drastically improved the pass defense, going from 21 in passing yards allowed to 4th. They improved from 9th in passing touchdowns allowed to 1st in the league. The defense also came away with 17 interceptions. Pagano is known for his ability in secondary and ability to stop opposing teams' fast attack. As of January 25th of this year, Pagano was named the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. In regards of his personal life, Pagano was diagnosed with leukemia in September, just this year, just like recently. And that's why there's an interim coach coaching. And he will undergo 4 to 6 months of treatment at a hospital in Indianapolis. And Indianapolis 2012, so he, so that's about Pagano. And he was succeeded as the Baltimore Ravens defense coordinator by Dean Pease. And preceded by Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell with the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm just checking out something real quick. So I won't go into the talk. Wait. So there's other, like, past coaches we'll be talking about in the future, but as of now, we're talking about the current head coaches. So that's very interesting because we need to talk about that. I mean, there's the interim coach with the NFL, but we need to keep Coach Pagano most definitely in our prayers. But I thought that was just awesome what the team had done this past weekend also. And here's an article as we continue talking about coaches in the NFL, because so many were given pink slips last year. And I'm looking at SBNation.com, and they're already, like, making predictions regarding what head coaches are in the hot seat already and predicting who will be given the pink slip and who's that won't. I will be looking at the switchboard in just a few minutes. I know I love my MyTouch, but I'm looking at my computer screen. Right now, if the story would come on. Rich Ruffinick says he's on hold. I don't know that because I'm not looking at my screen. Let him know that we didn't start it at 5:30, started at 6. I have been learning my lessons, topics that we need to talk about everything. Then when it's time to talk about the topics you all want to hear, that I've said would be the topic, is out of here. But, yeah, I wish we had started at 5:30, but then, you know, that's what happened. I had to schedule for another day, so I had to immediately do the next time slot. And we'll talk about today in history and birthdays, and then we will turn on Reg Ruffinick. Because I had recommended to him that call before 6:30 so we can have more time for him to share his perspective also. So I'm going to share this article about predictions regarding NFL coaches that might be terminated. They're just making predictions. So your favorite coaches might not be in trouble. I'm glad the Saints won their game this past Sunday. This headline reads that your favorite team's head coach will be fired someday. We tell you when and why. They state that if you're a fan of the NFL, you're probably already come to terms with the fact that your favorite team's head coach is going to get fired at some point. With very few exceptions, it's not a question of if my team's coach will be fired, but when. That's a weird perspective. Some coaches don't. Just for me saying, some coaches don't get fired. They just move on and turn their resignations in because they have either they're retiring or they have another job. But I'm sure it's popular for coaches to get fired, you know. But the current state of the NFL dictates that no head coach is safe. If Bill Belichick goes 1-15 this year, I know that's how college sports is, especially in the state of Mississippi, like Ole Miss and Mississippi State and some swag teams. If you're not doing so hot, you're out of here. If Bill Belichick goes, and Mississippi State is playing Tennessee this weekend, a lot of Mississippi State fans came to visited the booth yesterday. I love Mississippi State, too. A lot of Mississippi State fans visited our booth at the fair, the Mississippi Republican Party's booth at the fair, and I'm very excited about the game. And I hear that Rick Perry was in town for the Ole Miss game this past weekend also. One of my co-volunteers with the Mississippi Republican Party, Mr. Julio, stated that he was at the game with our governor, Phil Bryant. And also, I think Mr. Julio's son was there also. So Rick Perry, you know, he's an animal lover and a sports lover, too. And you all know how much I love me some governor of the state of Texas, Rick Perry. So surprised I did not know that. But back to this article. Bill Belichick goes 1-15 this year. He could be out on his rear in 2013. The majority of football fans have already seen plenty of turnover on their teams and are numb to an inevitable firing again at some point in the future. We thought we'd take a little bit of the guesswork out of the situation. Below, we have provided a handy list on when each 2012 NFL head coach will be fired and why. We have used the most advanced wild guess technology currently available, so these should be all the pretty accurate. They're predicting with Arizona Cardinals, Ken Wisenhunt would be fired in 2013. And I'm not going to go into reading the descriptions. You all can check out the article yourself. Atlanta Falcons coach, he's predicted to be fired in 2016. Not renewing somebody's contract, I assume, is considered being fired. Atlanta Falcons, Mike Smith, 2016. Baltimore Ravens coach, John Harbaugh, 17. Buffalo Bills coach, Chan Gailey, 13. Carolina Panthers, Ron Rivera, is predicted to be fired in 14. Believe it or not, for insider trading. Wow, they're even giving the reasons. You don't have to check this article out. Chicago Bears, Lovie Smith, is predicted to be fired this year. This would be like a joke. This is like for fun and humor. Cincinnati Bengals, Marvin Lewis, 14. Cleveland Browns, Pat Shurmur, 2012. Dallas Cowboys, Jason Garrett, 15. You all have to read this article if you have not. I think it's just for humor. Denver Broncos, John Fox, 14. Detroit Lions, Jim Schwartz, 13. Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy, 18. Houston, Texas, Gary Kubiak, 2014. Indianapolis Colts, Chuck Pagano, 14. Jacksonville Jaguars, Mike Malarkey, 11. Oh, my God. Kansas City Chiefs, Romeo Crennel, 14. Miami Dolphins, Joe Philbin, 13. Minnesota Vikings, Leslie Frazier, Mississippi native, 16. New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, 16. New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton, different times, May 13th. June, so he's going to get fired like three times in a van. This is all for fun. New York Giants, Tom Coughlin,
New York Jets, 16. Oakland Raiders, 12. Philadelphia Eagles, 15. Pittsburgh Steelers, Michael Tomlin, 17. San Diego Chargers, North Turner, 13. San Francisco 49ers, year 16. Pete Carroll, the Seattle Seahawks, 16. Yeah, this is like a real funny, like humorous prediction article. St. Louis Rams, Jeff Fisher, 14. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Greg Schiano, 13. Washington Redskins, Mike Shanahan, 14. So this is just like a fun prediction of head coaches being fired. So it's nothing wrong with having a sense of humor. So it's something that if you want to get a laugh and look at the reasons why these particular head coaches would get fired, like giving the pink slip in the future, check the article out because it's just funny. So I just wanted to share some of that with you. But let's go ahead and talk about one more coach and celebrity birthdays. And again, happy birthday to all of my Facebook friends, online friends, and real-life friends. If today's your birthday, if it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Talked to some amazing people yesterday who are celebrating anniversaries and birthdays. And this couple, we not only talk politics with this one particular couple, but they shared with me their life story, their love story, and talk about that, not during this broadcast, but real soon. Okay, there's AFC North, there's NFC North. We talked about the AFC East coaches and the NFC East coaches, and we began last week talking about John Harbaugh, Baltimore Ravens coach, AFC North. So we have to continue with the NFC North, the AFC South, NFC South, AFC West, and the NFC West. And real quickly, Marvin Ronald Lewis was born September 23rd, 1958, and he's the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals of the National Football League, a position he has held since January 1403, making him the third longest tenured head coach in the NFL. Previously, he was notable as the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, whose record-setting defense helped them win Super Bowl 34-7 of the New York Giants. In 2005, under Lewis, the Bengals had their first winning season and won their first division title in 15 years. The Associated Press named Marvin Lewis as 09 Coach of the Year following a 10-6 regular season and another AFC North Division championship. He is the first Bengals coach to win the award since team founder Paul Brown in 1970. He is the longest tenured coach in Bengals history and holds the franchise record for most wins, surpassing Shane White on October 30th, 2011. Marvin Lewis was born in Pittsburgh suburb of McDonald, Pennsylvania, and attended Idaho State University and primarily played linebacker. In 01, he was inducted into the Idaho State University Sports Hall of Fame. His playing career consists of, in addition to playing quarterback and safety at Fort Cherry Junior Senior High School in Pennsylvania, Marvin Lewis wrestled and played baseball. He was a three-time All-Big Sky Conference selection. Lewis was not drafted by the NFL team, and he never pursued a professional playing career. Coaching career. Marvin Lewis began his coaching career as a graduate assistant at Idaho State before becoming the team's linebackers coach for four seasons from 81 to 84. Idaho State won the NCAA Division IAA championship during his first year with the team. Lewis was an assistant coach at Long Beach State University, 1985 to 86, the University of New Mexico, 87 to 89, and the University of Pittsburgh, 90 to 92. National Football League. As an assistant coach, Marvin Lewis had coaching internships with the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, before being hired as the linebackers coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1992. He was on the Steelers Super Bowl. I know, I need to study my Roman numerals. I need to have them, like, in front of me. I know. I used to know all my Roman numerals. Super Bowl, which lost to the Cowboys. You all know which Super Bowl that was. The newly relocated Baltimore Ravens, formerly the Cleveland Browns, hired Lewis as their defensive coordinator in 1996. A position that he held for six seasons, 1996 to 2001. In 2000, the Ravens defeated the New York Giants 34-7. In that Super Bowl,
thanks to Lawrence Lee, a defense that allowed the fewest rushing yards, 970, and the fewest points, 165, in a 16-game regular season. If ever a man proved his worth as a future head coach, Marvin Lewis did it with his complete domination of the Giants in their 16 possessions. Punt, 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 interception, punt, interception, interception, punt, interception, punt, 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 end of game, wrote Sports Illustration writer Michael Silver after the game. Lewis was a prime candidate for several NFL head coaching jobs, but he was passed over each time. Most notably, he nearly became head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2002. General manager Rich McKay was ready to formally offer the job to Lewis, and the Ravens actually held a going-away party for him. However, the team's owners, the Glazer family, were unwilling to give the job to another defense-minded coach after firing Tony Dungy. Shortly afterwards, Lewis was hired by the Washington Redskins as defensive coordinator and assistant head coach under Steve Spurrier. As the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, Marvin Lewis became the ninth coach in Cincinnati Bengals history on January 14, 2003, when he was hired to replace Dick LeBeau, who was fired after the worst season in franchise history, edging out Tom Coughlin, now head coach of the New York Giants, and Mike Mulocki, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Lewis also had interviews with Buffalo Bills, the Carolina Panthers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Cleveland Browns. Lewis also declined head coaching positions in the college ranks with the University of California, Berkeley, and Michigan State University to continue pursuing his goal of becoming a head coach in the NFL. A contending team in the late 70s through the 80s, the Cincinnati Bengals had fallen on hard times in the 90s, and it had several head coaches. After consecutive 8-8 seasons, Lewis shaped the Bengals into contenders with a nucleus of young players such as quarterback Carson Palmer, running back Rudy Johnson, and receivers Chad Johnson and T.J. Heisman today. Whoa, did I say that right? I don't like it. Sound like I was close. Defensive backs Torrey James and Delta O'Neill. In 05, the Bengals recorded an 11-5 record and made the playoffs for the first time in 15 years, losing in the first round to the eventual Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers. The Bengals dropped to 8-8 the following year, a disappointing season in which they started at 8-5 and then lost their last three games of the season, any one which could have gotten them into the playoffs with a win. Then they recorded two consecutive losing seasons, including 4-11-1 record in 2008, the worst of Lewis' career. But in 2009, Cincinnati recorded their second winning season under Lewis' tenure. This included wins in all six games against AFC North opponents, marking the first time in franchise history they accomplished this feat. The Bengals finished the season 10-6, winning the AFC North title, and early on their second trip to the playoffs in 19 years, on January 9, 2010, the Bengals were defeated by the New York Jets, 24-15, in the opening round of the playoffs. On January 16, 2010, Lewis was named the Associated Press 2009 NFL Coach of the Year. After the Bengals improved from 4-11-1 record in 08 to a 10-6 regular season record in 09, the Bengals slipped to a 4-12 record in 10, the worst since Lewis took over as coach. On January 4, 2011, Lewis signed an extension with the Bengals. The offseason landing up to 2011 was a difficult time for the Bengals. They lost three of their most productive players from 2010, receivers Terrell Owens and Chad Ochocinco, along with defensive back Jonathan Joseph, while quarterback Carson Palmer, the team's starter since 04, refused to play for them anymore. He was traded midway through the season. However, with the aid of strong play from their first and second round draft picks, receiver A.J. Green and quarterback Andy Dalton, the Bengals still managed to record their winning season under Lewis. Midway through 2011, Lewis set the franchise record for wins with his 65th coaching victory, surpassing the previous record of 64 by Sam White. By the halfway mark, the Bengals' record was 6-2, including a five-game winning streak. It was the first time the Bengals had won five consecutive games since 88 when the team advanced to the Super Bowl with White as their coach. They finished the season 9-7 and made the playoffs as the number 6 seed. On July 31st, 2012, the Bengals gave Lewis a 2-year contract extension through 04. Cincinnati started out the 2012 season with a 44-13 loss to the Baltimore Ravens, the most lopsided opening day defeat in franchise history. But the team recovered and went to win their next three games. So they're doing pretty good. And head coaches under whom Marvin Lewis has served are Bill Cowher with Pittsburgh Steelers 92-95, Ted Marchibodo with the Baltimore Ravens 96-98, Brian Billick, Baltimore Ravens 99-2001, Steve Spurrier, Washington Redskins 02, and assistant coaches under Marvin Lewis who have become NFL coaches, Leslie Frazier, Minnesota Vikings 2010, the president and Hugh Jackson of the Oakland Raiders 2011. Must commend him. I like his story. Definitely a story of triumph, with he not ever pursuing a career as an NFL player, but he definitely played multiple sports in his junior and senior years, and he honestly has really worked himself up within the NFL, and we must commend him. I love that story. That is amazing right there. Very, very successful head coach, Marvin Lewis. Fantastic. That is awesome right there. Because last week I said, well, okay, we're going to cover three coaches. So we had to do Pagano. And just going to briefly talk about one more coach so we can go ahead and talk with Reg Roughneck and talk about birthdays and so on. And then conclude the show also and play a couple songs. But I know some of you said, well, you said you were going to talk about this. And there's Pat Shermer of AFC North and Mike Tomlin that we need to talk about. And next week we'll be talking about Mike Tomlin and then the rest of the NFC North, Lovie Smith with Chicago Bears and Jim Schwartz. Those will be the three we'll talk about. But Mike Tomlin, he takes more than a few minutes. Because, you know, I've been a long-time Cowboys fan and Saints fans. I think about Steelers and the Cowboys rivalry. And when I really became a Cowboys fan is when the Cowboys lost to the Steelers back in the 70s. What was that, 76, 77? Something like that. I know. But let's go ahead and talk about Pat Shermer, and then we'll conclude profiling the coaches for today. And next week we'll talk about Mike Tomlin with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the other coaches. Pat Shermer, he's young. He's only a few years older than I. He was born April 14, 1965. He's only 47. He was born in Ann Arbor, Michigan, his physician center of Michigan State. And as a coach and administrator, from 1990 to 1997, he was a tight ends coach for Michigan State. 1998, Stanford offensive line coach. 1999-2001, Philadelphia Eagles tight ends coach. 2002-2008, Philadelphia Eagles quarterbacks coach. 2009-2010, St. Louis Rams offensive coordinator. 2011 to right now, he is the Cleveland Browns head coach. Shermer was a 4-year letterman in football at Michigan State University. He played guard and linebacker his freshman season and started 3 seasons. He earned all Big Ten conference honors in 87, his junior year. He was co-captain when the Spartans defeat the USC Trojans in the Rose Bowl in his senior year. Live streaming is stopping, but the show is continuing on. Coaching career. Shermer's resume includes 23 years of coaching experience, including 12 in the NFL. In his 12 seasons, he has been a part of 7 playoff teams, winning 5 division crowns. And Shermer began working for the Philadelphia Eagles in 1999 on January 21st, 2009. Shermer retired by Steve Spagnuolo, did I say that right? I need to practice, to be the offensive coordinator of the St. Louis Rams. He helped the Rams improve to a 7-9 record following a 1-15 season in 2009, the second biggest turnaround in the league in 2010. He guided St. Louis offense to improvements in nearly every category, including total yards, time of possession, and third down percentage. They also scored 114 more points than the previous year. In addition, the Rams committed just 21 turnovers in 2010, tied for 9th lowest total in NFL. Hey, Michael Jordan's mother. yesterday signing her book at at the downtown library, Eudora Welty Library. I did not know that until I was leaving the fair and I saw on the billboard that she was at the library signing books. She signed her book from 47, and it was also on the news. But Michael Jordan's mom was in Jackson last evening. For those of you that know her, because I know where you were last night in Jackson, Mississippi. Cleveland Browns, he was interviewed by the Cleveland Browns on January 7, 2011 to be their head coach. On January 13, 2011, Shermer was hired by Mike Holmgreen, with whom he shares agent Bob Lamonti, to become the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He is the 13th head coach in franchise history and is sixth since the franchise revival in 99. Part of the reason Pat Shermer was hired was the team wanted him to call the plays on offense, as Holmgreen did in Green Bay and Seattle. Another reason for the hire was Shermer's development of Sam Bradford, 2010's number one overall draft pick. The Browns are hoping he can have similar success with Brandon Whedon. While potentially hamstrung in attempts to install a new offensive system by the NFL lockout, the Browns played through the first half of the 2011 season at or near the bottom of the league in almost every offensive category. Starting several rookies, Shermer's team was frequently beset by confusion in personnel and play calling at critical junctures. Early in the year, the defense surrendered a touchdown on a failure to break the defensive huddle, and the team's chances in several games were compromised by a host of special teams mistakes and meltdowns. At the midpoint of the season, in telling series in which Shermer called for a conservative ball protection strategy, the Browns recovered their own fumble, resulting from a mistakenly called handoff to a third string tight end lined up at fullback only to botch a short go-ahead field goal attempt with a failed snap and uncoordinated line movement. His personal life, his uncle, the late Fritz Shermer, served as the Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator from 94 to 98 and helped that club win two NFC championships and one Super Bowl title. His wife, Jennifer Shermer, also attended Michigan State. They have four kids, Allison, Erica, Claire, and Kyle. So, yay, I had time to talk about Pat Shermer. So I'm referencing to Wikipedia, but I'm talking about these head coaches for a reason. So we all are fans of the NFL as a whole, and we all have our favorite teams and our favorite coaches and our favorite executives and favorite sports writers and those in the media. And I just thought it was very important for us to profile the coaches and interim coaches also. And so it's fun. It's fun hearing their stories because they all have stories of trial and error and success and failures. And we always seem to see where they overcome. All of these head coaches have something in common, and that's that they never give up. They never give up on themselves. They never give up on their teams and on their players and the respect that they have for the teams that they coach for, and for the owners of the teams, and the love that they have for the game, and especially the love that they have for the fans and the lovers of the sport. We all are sports lovers. The coaches are sports lovers. They wouldn't be coaches if they weren't. And this is just amazing. I'm just super excited beginning the conversation. Just beginning the conversation, encouraging you to interact more also by calling in and chatting more in the chat room. I mean, it's fun, but, you know, I love to hear from sports lovers and listeners, period, but especially on Sports Friday in regards to sports. You know, we all have our favorite teams, our favorite players, our favorite everything. So it's cool if you I love the Dallas sports and, you know, Deep South sports, and I have my favorites in different divisions, and my favorite executives and my favorite coaches. You know, I do love the Jets and the Giants and the Steelers and the Packers and the Vikings and Oakland and the Dolphins, and I love them all. So let's, you know, talk sports. You say, oh, I don't want to call her because she loves her some Mark Cuban, or she loves the Mavericks, or she and Reg Roughneck, they always talk about certain teams and certain people. You call in also and educate us, and let us know what's going on and what you're thinking about, you know, and not just professional sports, student athletic sports also. It's important to, you know, talk about those things. And my, you know, sometimes I when I'm networking and talking with my on and offline friends, you know, that listen to the show, you know, they're like, well, I want to talk more about maybe topics that's not discussed often. Call in and let's talk about it because we all love sports. Let's talk about it and educate one another and just share our love regarding sports, period. You know, there are sports that, you know, I would love to talk more about boxing and martial arts and a lot of other sports. I'm going to talk more about soccer. I've always liked soccer. And but even if I didn't, I want to hear from you. It's good to hear from you and hear more about, because all of us want to learn something new about the sport. We want to know about the passion and stories of triumph, you know, really. So I just wanted to say that. But we've concluded the profile of the head coaches. So I'm headed to the switchboard. And also I want to wish people a happy birthday and maybe I think we'll be talking to Rich Roughneck and anyone else who have called in. But doing my best to keep my word because many of you all are tough. Like, you said you were going to talk about Coach so-and-so and Coach so-and-so, and I want to hear. And I had to do that. But it's some awesome shows on this morning also here at blogtalkradio.com. So when you're finished listening to Sports Edition Friday, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, check out the other shows that are broadcasting right now. Oh, and also sending condolences to the friends and family and those that love the actor Leo O'Brien. My dear friend who is, you know, a fitness trainer, not only an actor and director, but speaking of martial arts, 7-degree black belt, Taimok Goriello, shared with us that Leo O'Brien had passed. I did not find out until last evening. And he was definitely a friend of mine in prayer. And that's a possibility. I might be traveling to New York in January. I'm not sure, for the first time, regarding a meeting regarding politics with the NoLabel.org organization. And he's one of my friends in New York. I hope I will see in January. But send condolences to his wife and his family and his kids. You know, a year ago he was shot several times, and it was a miracle that he lived. So, and we was praying hard for him. And one thing I loved about Leo, one reason why I say my friend in prayer, because he was definitely a prayer warrior. Whenever he and I communicated and talked, he always thought about others and always prayed for others. And I know he definitely prayed for me a lot. And if I'm talking about the Leo O'Brien who played the little brother to Taimok in the film The Last Dragon. You remember he was so obsessively in love with evangelist Denise Matthews' character. What was her name? Charles. Her last name was Charles, the character's name. But he was the little brother that was trying to teach Taimok's character how to, you know, be hip and everything. Such a fun guy. And he was only 41 years of age, and he passed away on Wednesday morning. And just wow. So hopefully Taimok will be guest real soon on the show. So wow, that's just amazing. But he had such a good spirit, and he always talked about his love of the Lord and his love for God and his appreciation for his friends, family, supporters, and all. So, again, just sending condolences to those. And also, recently, he's in Taimok's newest film that haven't even hit the market yet. Taimok packaged it up, but, you know, he's been working on getting it seen in different outlets and festivals and so on. And so you have not seen the last of him because he is in the film, and there are teasers. So check out Timeout's fan page and also check out his I Am Timeout blog site and his fan page is I Am Timeout. And also you can visit Leo O'Brien's Facebook page and leave condolence messages on his wall to he and his family, to his wife and his kids and so on. And that's one thing I loved about him. He always talked about how much he loved his wife and his kids, you know. So that's just a mess. He's definitely missed. So I just wanted to share that in regards to Tom. Also, not only been an actor and director, but an athlete, and sharing that information with you all. I shared it last night during last night's broadcast, but some of you might not have heard or might not have known, and you might not have been checking out TMZ and other media outlets, but of course TMZ, they covered his story last year when he was shot, and Tom Mock was the one that broke the news to us as soon as he heard that Leo had been shot. And he immediately, when I profiled Tom Mock, I talked about how quickly he went to his friend's side and was there for him when he was shot. So this is just, you know, sad, but he was a person who loved God and talked highly about God. So, wow. But let's go ahead and talk about, talk to Rich Roughneck and talk about birthdays, because I know many of you like to hear the birthdays and so on, but I quickly had to recognize that, because I was about to, I'm thinking, well, everyone listened last night, listened this morning, but that's not true. And don't want to get, you know, emotional and sad or whatever. Wow. But I'm trying to hurry up and pull up this info regarding birthdays. And then we will have about 15, 20 minutes to talk with Ridge Roughneck. Hopefully they'll let us talk a little longer. You ought to be listening mainly to him because my voice is shot. Okay. But right now, we'll play Andre Simone's America, and then we will be back talking about celebrity birthdays, the same history, and talking to Ridge Roughneck. This is like the morning of Murphy's Law. The song does not want to begin. So we might be listening to something else. I know many of you love that song like I do. But if it doesn't start soon, we will have to listen to something else. Like, all I do is win. And that doesn't want to start either. I guess this is not the morning to motivate you, because you're already motivated. That's for Mondays. Motivating Mondays. Okay. Like looking like a pie in the face. want to motivate those Callaway Chargers in regards to playing Ridgeland. And Ridgeland's always good. But for some reason, the audio does not want to play. I don't know what's going on with the audio this morning. And I have a lot of new listeners this morning also, called the Shock Entertainment Report. I like to share the Today in History on Facebook early, so it is being shared right now. Courtesy of Dallas News, Dallas Morning News, and Associate Press. Hugh Jackman turns 44 today, so he's just a couple months younger than I. Jack Garn, former U.S. Senator, Republican, Utah, 66. Dick Gregory, a friend of mine, comedian, activist, 80. Happy birthday, Dick Gregory. Sam Moore, R&B singer, Sam and Dave, 77. Chris Wallace, broadcast journalist, 65. John Engler, former governor of Michigan, 64. Susan Anton, actress, 62. Adam Rich, actor, ages enough, 44. Martin McGuire, country musician, Dixie Chicks, 43. Kurt Cameron, of actor, Growing Pains, 42. Bodie Miller, U.S. Olympic skier, 35. And golfer Christy Kerr turns 35 years old today. Happy birthday to celebrities and my on offline friends again. And today in history, in 1935, opera singer Luciano Pavarotti was born in Modena, Italy. And also Christopher Columbus arrived with his expedition in the present-day Bahamas on October 12, 1492. The old-style calendar, it was, October 12, 1492, the old-style calendar. The new-style calendar on October the 21st. Jesus Christ Superstar, a rock opera by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, opened on Broadway in 71. In 73, President Richard Nixon nominated House Minority Leader Gerald R. Ford, Republican Michigan, to succeed Spiro T. Agnew as Vice President. 84, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher escaped an attempt on her life when Irish Republican Army bomb exploded at a hotel in Brighton, England, killing 5 people. And in 2002, Al-Qaeda suicide bombers in an explosive-laden boat rammed into the destroyer of the USS Cole in Yemen, killing 17 sailors. In 2007, former Vice President Al Gore and the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change won the Nobel Peace Prize for sounding an alarm over global warming. And a few others, but those are the main things that happen also. And European Union wins the Nobel Peace Prize also, those of you that did not know. And I'm reading that Kid and the Knicks opened their preseason with a win. So Kid moved on. And so they won their preseason last night, topping the Wizards. So, wow. So congratulations to those guys regarding their win. And today, the preseason games will be Detroit Pistons are playing Toronto, and Portland Trailblazers are playing the Phoenix Suns. And I'm seeing that Bryant would skip a preseason game with a bum shoulder. So I hope you're feeling better and real soon. So let's go ahead and talk with Rich Roughneck. And those of you that love listening to awesome music, I don't know what's going on. The music's not pumping this morning. Maybe at the outro and the end of the show, you get an opportunity to hear a few songs to get you pumped up for the weekend. And remember, tomorrow night, we'll be broadcasting at 9 p.m. If you come by the fair, come by. Don't forget to come by and see me tomorrow morning at the Mississippi Republican third-party vendor booth housed inside the Mississippi Trademark Building, along with other awesome vendors and an awesome car exhibit, okay? Come and say hi to me, okay? And let's talk a little love for America. And for some reason, it's not wanting to let Reg Roughneck on air. So I'm going to wait a few minutes. I'm just going to keep talking until hopefully it allows Reg Roughneck to come on air. I did not think about that because I think maybe that may have happened once before with a caller. But usually callers come in. Now, music, sometimes it does. Those of you that understand uploading and downloading and stuff like that, you all probably know what's happening. Just not playing, but I did not think I would have trouble getting Reg Roughneck on also to talk. So that means I would be at living and talking until his call can come through so I can put him on live. I have a feature where I can call out. I have yet practiced it. But I can call out from my switchboard. That's what I love about having the upgrading. I have unlimited audio, and also I can call out. I can call a co-host. I can call guests. I need to get these kinks out. I don't know what's going on with the switchboard. But I need to continue talking and not lose your attention so you won't get bored. Oh, man, it's been a lot of celebrity news. Bad News Bears actress Sammy Kane crashed, killed in a car accident. This is from Hollywood Life. I had not heard about this. This is like breaking news. And so as I await for Reg Roughneck call to come through so I can put him live on air, this is from Hollywood Life. So I'm sharing, like, breaking news emails that I'm getting. Hollywood Life, and not trying to get off of talking sports, but Bad News Bears, that's a sports-themed show. So this is about sports. Bad News Bears actress Sammy Kane, you all probably heard this yesterday. Sammy Kane crashed, killed in a car accident. Beautiful girl. Oh, my God. Sammy Kane crashed in the Bad News Bears 2005 remake. Sammy Kane crashed, died on October 9th, 2012. So sad, the 20-year-old's life was taken on October 9th in a tragic car accident. Our thoughts and prayers are with her family during this difficult time. Sammy Kane crashed, who displayed her exceptional baseball skills in Bad News Bears, died in a devastating car crash on Tuesday, October 9th. The 20-year-old child star was driving with her 21-year-old friend, Molly Kate Adams, on the freeway in the early hours of the morning in L.A. when the car crashed, leaving Sammy dead and her friend with moderate injuries, according to the Daily Mail, who also reports that Molly was for suspicion of drunk driving. Drunk driving. Sammy played Amanda Wurlitz in the Bad News Bears, the only girl on a crazy misfit baseball team. It is so sad that her life was taken so early, and we can't even imagine what her family is going through. What do you think? Wow, I'm sending condolences to her family. Many of you might have heard this story, many of you may have not, but wow, the actress from the remake of the Bad News Bears, I love the original like crazy. I was killed in a car accident earlier this week. Oh, that is sad. Wow. And her friend was allegedly driving drunk. Don't drink and drive, people. Not drink and drive. Look what happened. Man. And I'm sure, she had a promising future. Wow. Then I'm reading an article about Justin Bieber. What is this about alleged naked pics? Representative denies he went nude. Oh, my God. Why are people talking about this? After his computer was stolen on October 10th, the internet went crazy about a pic. I'm a big fan of Justin Bieber's. Oh, my God. The young man, he cannot have any kind of personal life. At his computer was stolen on October 10th, the internet went crazy about a pic of Justin allegedly in the bus. But Justin's manager told HollywoodLife.com exclusively the truth behind the rumor. We never thought Justin Bieber would have a new photo scandal. But after his laptop and camera was stolen, I guess we should never say never. A leaked pic allegedly showing Justin 18 and above hit the web on October 10th, Gawker reports. Fans are torn, with some saying that the body doesn't look like beads. Fans know, believe me. And we're thinking he would never take any raunchy pics. Justin's manager, Scooter Braun, tells HollywoodLife.com exclusively that news are fake. We're so glad to hear that news. Justin recently spoke on Today about how his new album, Believe, marks a critical turning point in his career. I'm 18 and I have a lot of insecurities at the end of the day. Being in my position doesn't get rid of those insecurities. I think this album is about proving people wrong and going out there and making good music and going out there and performing better than anyone else. Why do you think someone would Photoshop Justin's picture? That is the question that accompanies this article. So, wow, I know that is something. That young man, he is amazing. And he, people know they get all in his business. But he and his mom seem to manage things pretty well. It's awesome. And best wishes to he and his girlfriend. Cute, cute couple. So, wow. So, for some reason, Ridgeruff, let me see if Ridgeruff Nick can come on now. Seems like it's trying to clear up, but it's not. My music's not playing, plus my caller. My call's not coming through. Wow. Not coming. It's almost time to conclude the show. Okay, it's not. So I'm just going to look at more emails and talk about other sports news and interesting entertainment news. Here's an interesting article at the Washington Post. This is talking politics, like regarding the debate, last night's debate. Remember, the next debate would be on Tuesday. Biden and Romney debate abortion and the role of Catholicism plays in their positions. I thought that was a very interesting question when she asked about their religious beliefs and how it played a part in their lives. And I like when Paul said that, how can you separate your life from your religious beliefs also. But when this article is at the Washington Post and written by Sally Quinn, when Martha read it as Vice President Joe Biden and Congressman Paul Ryan of Republican Wisconsin Thursday night about their religion, it was the right thing to do. We have two Catholic candidates, first time on a stage such as this. She said, and I would like to ask you both to tell me what role your religion has played in your own personal views on abortion. After the debate, MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell criticized her for bringing up religion, saying it had no place in a presidential debate. I thought that was interesting, and also it was like one of the last questions. And they both answered rather appropriately. I thought that both of their answers were, they answered her question. But how could it not? This entire campaign has been dominated by religious references from all the candidates, although Obama has probably discussed he is the lead. It is a crucial question when religion informs the lives of candidates and their political positions. Abortion is one of these. Ryan answered this first. I don't see how a person can separate their public life in their private life or their faith, he said. Our faith informs us in everything we do. It was as if yesterday voters had visited the booth. Some Democrats, Independents, Republicans, those that don't vote, those that just want to know and get more information.
The one thing that most visitors that have visited the 3 days that I have volunteered at Mr. Republican Party booth, from people of all backgrounds, have been the morality of the person and the platform and issues that are the most important to them. What are the candidates' views and what would they do about certain issues? That's what I've been getting and my co-volunteers have been getting from those who have visited the booth to talk politics. And it was as if the custom of church and state were alien to him, and it was very revealing. Why am I pro-life, he asked. It's not simply because of my Catholic faith. That's a factor, of course. But it is also because of reason and science. I believe that life begins at its conception. I respect people who don't agree with me. But the policy of a Romney administration would be to oppose abortion with the exception of rape, incest, and life of the mother. That's a very different tune he is singing now than before he was selected as Romney's running mate. Before that, he was against abortion in any condition. Biden had a very different answer. My religion defines who I am, he said, and I have been a practicing Catholic my whole life. With regard to abortion, I accept my church's position on abortion. Life begins at conception in the church's judgment. I accept it in my personal life, but I refuse to impose it on equally devout Christians and Muslims and Jews. I do not believe that we have a right to tell other people that women can control their own body. It is a decision between them and their doctor. In my view and in the Supreme Court, I'm not going to interfere with that. Biden pointed out that Ryan has argued in the case of rape or incest, it would be a crime to engage in having an abortion. There couldn't be a better example of the difference of the two men or the ticket than that. Ryan and Kaepernick believe in the consciousness of his convictions, managed to get over the fact that a life is a life, and after he was chosen as Romney's running mate, now a fetus is only life if it is not conceived by rape or incest. It's okay by him now to murder innocent life as he sees it, as long as it's Romney's position. The irony here is that Romney and Ryan are Republicans. Their politics are defined by the idea of small. This is an article I'm reading about the idea of smaller government and less interference in people's lives, and by the concept of religious freedom. Yet here they are telling people of other faiths or no faith what they can do in the most intimate part of their lives based on their own personal religious beliefs. To those who believe that abortion should remain legal, be worried, as read. Ryan was quick to respond, "We don't think unelected judges should make this decision," he said. "Keep an eye on the Supreme Court," said Biden. "It's all about freedom. How could this not be the most revealing and informative subject of the debate?" So, But I thought both of their answers were rather good and as honest, hopefully as honest as they could possibly be, because, you know, it's important to be honest. And, you know, if you're honest up front, then it's easier to be able to keep your word, or if you make a promise, to keep your promise, you know. But, wow. I'm looking at FoxNews.com now, email I just received, and they're saying that liberal media split over how Ben Radutz and Biden's performance at debate. And some are saying that Biden is accused of being disrespectful in a presidential debate with grins and laughs. I heard that on the news this morning. Farce flies, Biden, Ryan face off in a feisty vice presidential debate. So the headlines and stories are coming in like crazy regarding last night's VP debate. But it was a nice concept of the debate also, sitting down at the table and so on. But I can't wait to see the town hall meeting style debate between President Obama and GOP candidate, former governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney. Wow. What I not love it is that Romney Paul bus pull up at the fairgrounds tomorrow. And then after the fair is over, hey, we'll love it if they pull up at the Mississippi Republican headquarters located at 415 Yazoo Street, the corner of Congress Street. That'll be awesome. To be honest, I have been also anticipating the president to come to Jackson. I would love to meet to see the president also in person. I didn't see him when he came through during his campaign. He hasn't been back to Jackson since he campaigned. And he ate at my friend's restaurant
on Ferris Street, and they have, like, nice pictures of the president visit to the restaurant. And I think he ate, like, chicken and, oh, no, I don't want to feel, but he had, like, some pretty awesome food and enjoyed the food. He ate at a couple other eateries, but I know I love to hear my friends and his mother story regarding the president's visit during his campaign back in 08. Good to hear and good to look at the pictures and so on. So that's amazing. But it looked like I would be concluding the show without talking to Rich Rubnag. I was looking forward to talking with him and just Peyton, because I see he had liked the post that I had talked about regarding Drew Brees being still pissed off regarding the bounty program allegations, and I'm sure he had some other things to talk about. And for some reason, the music won't play, and I cannot get him live on air. And that's, you know, that's Murphy's Law. What will happen, can happen, will happen. And so that's live radio and keeping cool and calm. But I thank you again for tuning in. I thank you to my new listeners and my new friends that tune in also. And many of my new friends, new listeners, will be guests in the near future also from those that are pastors, to authors, to those that want to share their political views, to those who want to share the topic of religion and politics. You know, that was another theme from visitors, how their spirituality guides them to their, you know, what's important to them politically. So, wow. But this is amazing sports weekend. And big shout out to everyone, to all those celebrating homecoming weekends and just celebrating, period. You know, do your best and win. You all know I love playing motivating songs for you. So I guess I'll broadcast from Springer later on today. I haven't broadcast from Springer in a minute. So I'll play some motivating songs on Springer to motivate sports fans and athletes and coaches also. Play some hype music and have fun, but be sure to tune in tomorrow night at 9 p.m. regarding the weekend edition of Cut the Shock Entertainment Report. We'll be profiling Bob Johnson. And you know, we'll probably talk a little bit more about Bob Pittman, but we'll definitely be profiling Bob Johnson, founder of BET, and talking about other interesting entertainment and lifestyle news. And Monday, remember, it's almost time. Neil Descartes will be guest. My longtime Facebook friend based in Chicago, he is a successful real estate investor, and he will be guest on Monday morning. So call in and ask him questions. I see many of you have been networking with him on Facebook and I guess emailing him and checking out his photo album. So do not hesitate to not only listen to his awesome story of success and triumph, trial and errors, personal and professional failures and successes. He's definitely a motivator. He motivates me. He encourages me. He's an amazing Facebook friend. And he is, will be talking about his career as a real estate investor. I have many friends who are in real estate. I myself have always loved the topic of building and construction and real estate and so on. To be honest, when I was a little girl, I like drawing everything. I love drawing. I love to design fashions, but I love drawing houses. I just love drawing houses like mansions and nice homes when I was a little girl. So I've always been fascinated with homes and interior, not only just fashion design, but interior design. I mean, my degree is in fashion merchandising and retail management. So fashion merchandising is pretty much like interior design, but more so with on a retail level, you know. But I all of that goes hand in hand. So those of you in fashion and interior design, tune in and listen and call in, because that's a question that I noticed that Neil Descartes gets a lot. Also, what is his aspect and how involved does he get into his projects when he's flipping properties and flipping homes? And
so on. So those of you in fashion, interior design, definitely also call in. And those of you with interest in architecture and so on, and just those of you that want to know more about that subject of real estate investing, be sure not to miss the show on Monday morning at 5:30 a.m. because it's going to be a very informative, very fun show. And he is a sports fan, too. So maybe we'll probably get a chance to squeeze the topic of sports in. He's based in Chicago, and he loves Chicago Bears and Chicago Bulls and other sports teams also. But I'm just letting you all know he is a crazed Chicago sports fan living in Chicago. So it should be a very fun show. Maybe he'll join us on one Friday to talk about sports. Hopefully my switchboard will not be doing what it's doing right now. So I'm going to be working at the Kings and definitely will be broadcasting Saturday night at 9 p.m. So join me, call in, let me know what's up. My apologies to Rich Rubnick. Also, Murphy's Law, something out of my control, could not get him live on air, cannot get the music to play. So you all know that's devastating. I'm calm, but, I want to hype the music up and get hyped. Cause, that's what's fun about. That's like not having a band, to cheer your team on, or cheerleaders or a drill team or so. But, again, I thank you for tuning in. Six, and God bless you. Your support is very important. And big shout out to Ridge and our friend Elliot Epps, who's in Big D, who Ridge been spending time with. He's a former NFL player, been playing for once played for the Denver Broncos. So I know many of you want to, maybe he'll call in one day doing sports edition or just any day, but especially when Ridge Rupnick and I are on and talk sports with us. I know he has a lot to share regarding what's going on in not just NFL, but sports, period. But, again, thank you. I hope you have a blessed day. I feel like I'm missing out on telling you something else regarding sports. But email me, network with me, and I like you are doing, continue sharing constructive criticism and feedback on how the delivery of the Shark Entertainment Report can be improved. Those of you that are interested in advertising, please don't hesitate to contact blogtalkradio.com. And I have to pay those bills. I have to pay that monthly bill to be on the air as a premium host. And so I just thank you. Thank you for your support, and thank you. And this is a good outlet for you to advertise on, which you see. We have many listeners, and very grateful and very appreciative for those listeners also. So thank you. But again, you've been listening to Sports Friday edition of Cut the Shark Entertainment Reports. I feel weird. I've been able to talk to Reg Ruffney, not been able to play the music. But thank you again, and God bless. Do your best to be healthy and friendly. Don't let nobody step all over you like a doormat. David Harrison Levy, love the post. I love him. David Harrison Levy and my attorney, Jay Lucas, I love this because it's so encouraging. And I have many other people who are so encouraging. And my coach, Christy, and many others. But David Harrison Levy of Beverly Hills, he always shares so much insightful info with many of us. But I love it when he posts certain things on my wall. And he posted a poster that says, don't be a doormat or something like that. So, it's important for us to be kind. And sometimes people take some of our kindness for our weaknesses. But be our best not to allow people to step all over you, not to be a doormat. And I know some people get mad if you nip it in the bud, but you got to stand up for yourself. And those people that do have your back and do support you, they are so important. And show your appreciation and do your best to let them know you appreciate them, those people whom it motivates you and those people who believe in you. I know we all believe in ourselves, but there's something about those people who believe in us. They're so important. When I was working at the gym last Friday and I was exercising and stuff, I just saw like flashes of people, my coaches and my support system, faces of people who
better person, personally, professionally, in my in the importance of taking care of myself, because I'm a nurturing person. I like taking care of other people, and I'm concerned about other people. But also, I have been accustomed in my life to taking care of myself, but taking better, improved care of myself, you know. And as I'm exercising, I'm just seeing visions of those people who do care about me. Yeah, there are other people who don't give a damn about me. I know. But that's why the people who do care about me and do motivate me and believe in me, just like many of you have, it's important to show appreciation to those people. And I'm telling you, those people, like faces, there's some of my friends that are not even alive and some that are alive, faces which is affectioned by encouraging me. You can do your thing, do your thing, do your thing. So I'm telling you all, you do your thing. You do your thing. I know we get tired sometimes. You know, I know there's a saying, I give out before I give up. I know we get tired sometimes, but like Neil Descartes is a saying, he says, keep pushing. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep pushing regardless of. Really. So again, I thank you and God bless and look forward to networking with some of you, many of you, throughout the weekend and until tomorrow night. And if you come to the fair, come say hi again. And let me know if you do listen to the show also, you know, because I know I talk to people that do listen to the show, but they have not told me, hey, I listen to the show. I mean, it's just fun. You don't have to, but it's just fun to know that you do listen to the show. Okay, but thank you, and God bless, and happy Friday. Have a fun Friday. It's just weird not playing any music for you. God bless, and thank you. Be quiet, girls. Here I come.